All right, I'd like to call to order our September 4th, 2024 meeting of the Ventura Port District Board of Commissioners. And we start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's see, Jackie, please. Thank you. Not only did you have to stand in for me when I was on vacation, but I throw the pledge at you. Good thing you remember your kindergarten training. All right, can we go to the roll call, please?
Commissioner Howell?
Here.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
Commissioner Rainey?
Here.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Here.
And Chair Blumenberg?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, next on our agenda is adoption of tonight's agenda. Commissioners, thoughts on the agenda as presented?
I move adoption as presented.
Second.
Oh, either way.
I've got a motion and a second to adopt tonight's agenda as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none opposed, tonight's agenda is adopted. All right, we'll move on to approval of the minutes of our July 17th meeting. It seems like ancient history, but after a nice August recess. I thought we had an objection. All right, commissioners, thoughts on those minutes from July 17th?
They look good to me. I move that we accept them.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from July 17th as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we've approved the minutes from July 17th. All right, we will move on to public communications, an opportunity for the public to testify on any items that are not on tonight's agenda. And I think we have at least one public comment. So Andrew from Akaloa Outrigger Canoes. I think we've seen you before, so thanks for joining us tonight. And if you would press the button on the mic.
Sure. All right. Well, hello, my name is Andrew Berner, and I am the secretary for Hokoloa Outrigger Canoe Club based here in Ventura Harbor. I've been with the club since 2010 and a board member for the past 10 years. I'm here with David Livingstone, who is the treasurer. And I just wanted to review a couple of accomplishments that we've had over the past few months with you today. Earlier this year, Hokoloa relaunched its youth program, where we had about 14 young adults join us after about a five-year hiatus due to COVID. And during the 16-week program, we taught teamwork, skill development, respect for the ocean, and water safety. New this season, Hokoloa partnered with the California State's lifeguard program, and we introduced approximately 900 kids to the junior lifeguards program to outrigger canoe paddling during the summer sessions. And every Wednesday for 9 weeks straight, Hokoloa offered instruction and teamwork activities around canoe paddling. And then in June, we once again hosted a successful race. I hope you could make it, but if you didn't, the Ventura Outrigger Challenge was held on June 8th. We brought in about 1,000 participants from across California to the harbor. This year, we partnered with PASA Pacifico and the National Park Service to celebrate Ocean World Day, which coincided with the event. And then also, it was a special year because it was the first time we held a kids division at our home race. And then finally, we've introduced about 100 adults and kids to Outrigger this year through our new paddler clinics. Not everyone stays, but we do get a steady stream of interest throughout the year asking about how the public can try outrigger paddling. This is really our recruitment pipeline. And in the last year, we've seen about a 40% increase in our membership. So very popular. I'm also here today to present a problem that we need your help with. So Hokoloa occupies two Connex shipping containers on a small site on Harbor Cove Beach. We have a footprint of approximately 45 by 25 feet. We're right next to the volleyball courts. This has been a really reliable site for the club for the past 10 years. But those Connex boxes have really reached the end of their service life because they're being inundated by the dunes that we are abut up against. The prevailing winds have really just moved the dunes alongside the boxes, and the sand has enveloped the boxes, causing extensive deterioration. Now, the site provides a home base for really all club activities. We begin and start all of our sessions there. We store all of our equipment, race equipment, paddles, PFDs, all the things that we need to be able to serve the public, serve our member, and enjoy the sport that we participate in. So we're requesting your help on what to do next. We have some ideas. We've talked about it as a board, but we need your help to understand what our options are and what we can do next to stay and perpetuate our sport and share it with the public. So thank you very much.
Andrew and David, thank you for joining us. Appreciate the update. Sounds like great work with the kids. You know, you teach the kids to love the ocean early, and it'll stick with them, and hopefully that'll pay dividends as we all want to protect it. Chris, you got another comment?
I don't know if you've approached our staff yet, but if you do, I'm sure they'd be happy to meet with you and share with you their ideas, thoughts, and give you some guidance on how to move forward. So please do that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We have any other public comments tonight? Seeing none in the audience. Do we have anybody online? Nobody online. All right, we will close public communications. We will move on to our closed session report. Council.
Good evening, Chair Blumenberg, members of the board. The board met in closed session to discuss the price and terms of payment of the two leases listed in the agenda. Direction was given to staff, and no reportable action was taken.
Thank you. Move on to board communications, an opportunity for commissioners to talk about events related to the Port District. Commissioners, anything to share tonight? Jackie.
Because I've always been quick to point out that Spinnaker needs to be paved, I'm thrilled to drive on to Spinnaker. Having it paved, it makes the entrance to the harbor so much better. And I look forward to the rest of it done. So thanks for the work that you guys did to accelerate that progress. And thank you to the city for following through and making that happen.
Yeah, it was also a nice drive coming in on Navigator, and nice paved road and newly striped. Yeah, Anchor's Way. All right, we'll close board communications and we'll move on to our staff and general manager reports.
Okay, we've got some items here from marketing, the fun stuff. Starting off with a popular showing of Barbie in July with the Village Outdoor Seaside Movie Nights. The pre-festivities included costume contests and DJ fun, then tying into Ventura surf culture and showing of the 60th anniversary of the iconic surf film, The Endless Summer. In August included a VW mini car show, local live surf music, and local surf clubs such as Surf Rider Foundation and the Surf Makos. The movie nights combined had over 1,000 people in attendance across the three movies. And the next door outdoor seaside movie night is scheduled for September 21st at sunset with family-friendly pirate movie Hook on the Village main lawn. So that's right, two have happened already, third to come. In August was the annual Pooch Parade and Festival sponsored by Carl, which is the Canine Adoption League, who reported it was their best attendance to date. In conjunction with Pooch Parade weekend, the Village also collaborated with Visit Ventura to host social media star Rowdy, the skateboarding dog, who has over 200,000 followers for a hosted trip to pet-friendly Ventura Harbor Village, garnering 46,000 views on one of the reels about village activities. The summer's midweek Waterfront Wednesdays promotion attracted visitors with kids, scavenger hunts, free prizes, a postcard program, weekly steel drum, and fun photo ops. Coming up in September, Ventura Harbor Village welcomes Ventura Art and Chalk Festival from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on September 14th and 15th, presented by the Ventura County Arts Events and the Rotary Club of Ventura. Combined 50 art vendors and chalk artists are involved in this year's event. Among them is featured chalk artist Greg Ray, the creator of the U.S. video game cover for the popular Sonic the Hedgehog series debut game, and the cover illustrations for some of the early Hedgehog the books. Live music will be featured all weekend long with the Marvelous Mug sale event at the Ventura Pottery Gallery. NSSA surf competitions start back up this month for 2 weekends, September 14th, 15th, and the 21st and 22nd at South Beach, and will continue into October and November. I did want to note a letter that was directed to John Higgins, our harbor master. This was from Ventura County Fire Department. On behalf of the Ventura County Fire Department, I would like to express my deepest gratitude for allowing the Fire Prevention Bureau to use the Ventura Port District for our off-site organizational planning meeting. We enjoyed the experience of being in a location with a spectacular oceanfront setting, the ideal environment to meet externally with ample space to connect and collaborate comfortably. Once again, thank you for your hospitality. That was sent to John and copied to me and also Chief Gardner with Ventura County. So nice feedback for John and coordinating with Jessica to use our room in here throughout the day. So, and lastly, I wanted to ask you to join me in congratulating, sitting next to me, Todd Mitchell. I promoted him to Deputy General Manager. And at about 12 this afternoon, I think. Todd wraps up to this point about 5 years of successful service to the Ventura Port District. In this next week, he's been integral to the success of many harbor initiatives, from dredging to the five-year capital improvement plan, while helping to secure outside grant funding for a variety of sources, including the Port of Hueneme's sub-grant providing $16 million for commercial fisheries master planning. He'll continue to oversee capital projects, facilities, marina and business operations, and of course, I look forward to continuing to work with him on implementing all of the many wonderful initiatives we have going, and with our master tenants and many, many others. So congratulations. Yeah. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Commissioners, any thoughts on the general manager's report besides congratulations to Todd?
Are the drinks on you tonight, Todd?
Another well done to our harbor master. You guys, you continue to get good feedback and praise. So well done again, John. Appreciate that. All right. We will close the general manager's report. We'll move on to our consent agenda. Tonight we have five items on consent. Typically, this is voted on in one fell swoop unless a commissioner makes a motion to pull it. Five items, three of those are resolutions. So those would require a roll call vote. I'm just going to summarize the five items quickly. Item A is out-of-town travel requests. Item B is resolution 3507, designating applicants agents for non-state agencies for obtaining certain federal financial assistance. I did have to read that one about three times before. Item C, award of a bid for the holiday decorations and lighting, something that we always enjoy. Item D is resolution 3508, accepting the work of FCT Construction for the restroom enhancements. And item E is adoption of resolution 3510, approving the update to the Port District Conflict of Interest and Disclosure Code Policy. So, commissioners, thoughts on the consent agenda?
The only comment I had is I looked at the restrooms, at least the women's halves, and they look terrific.
All right. Does anybody want to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll move approval as presented.
I'll second.
All right. I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. Again, there's resolutions on here, so we will do a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hall?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
Thank you. All right, we will move on to our standard agenda. We've got five items on the standard agenda tonight. First item is approval of a professional services agreement with Jensen Design and Survey. Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to have Todd Mitchell give our first presentation tonight.
Absolutely.
Jensen Design and Survey has been a engineering and survey company that we have had on call for a lot of one-off tasks here and there. We need a surveyor to come and lay out something. In this particular contract, we are doing three specific tasks that are beyond the scope of the on-call contract. They're project-specific. The first one is related to the parking program, where we are taking the 19A parking lot, which is the corner of Schooner and Harbor Boulevard. They are working with us to lay out a new arrangement for the boat storage. That'll be the north two-thirds, where the gates are going to go, where all the utility runs are going to go, a new sidewalk that'll connect the ADA parking stalls that are still there to the connecting sidewalk, all of that sort of stuff. They've been working on that a little bit. Now it's in earnest, and we'll be submitting a building and safety plan soon. The next project actually pertains to another item we'll hear on later. The commercial fish refueling facility that has underground storage tanks and lines that may or may not conflict with the location of the modernization project. However, those tanks do need to be replaced in the next 16 months, give or take, depending on state legislation. It could be to mutual benefit to relocate the tanks and the lines entirely out of the area of where the modernization project should go. That also could contribute to accelerating the project and less downtime for the tenant. So we are going to do some, well, we have done a little bit of surface investigation, and then we're going to do some subsurface investigation and make sure that we don't actually impact any other utilities. So that's another component of the project. And then the third one is pertaining to grant award projects from the National Fish and Wildlife Fund. They've supported on some preliminary designs and entitlements with the Coastal Commission and the city. This is really to get, again, the building and safety plans, oversee construction to improve the restrooms, mostly the showers and the exterior facilities at Surfers Knoll and Harbor Cove Beaches. They've been really, really helpful in the entitlement process, more so than I anticipated because of how complicated the Coastal Commission has decided to make some of this stuff. But as soon as we get the green light, we'll be submitting building and safety for Harbor Cove, and then Surfers Knoll and Harbor Cove. We're still waiting on a Coastal Commission to approve, which might happen in October, and then building and safety plans go for that. So those three projects helping us really move the needle, really help Joe and myself get these projects underway with some project management involved in that. So those are the three components of the project, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Commissioners, questions on this PSA? Chris?
So they've Jensen's done work on all three of these projects under kind of a annual blanket engineering contract that we do.
Yeah.
And so why are we not amending that? Because this looks, since this is a new agreement, I assume, or is it an amendment?
No. Okay. So the way we manage these kinds of contracts, they're still PSAs, but a PSA that is project specific is coded differently internally for accounting purposes than a general service contract. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we have a capital project directly associated with a project, we kind of like to generally separate a capital project so that we can, for you, Joe, can say, well, this is actually spending down capital project money. And also, in this case, we're not, but in cases where we see grant reimbursement, it's nice to have something clean cut to say that this is specific to the.
There's no grant reimbursement on these.
There's grant money related, but this, in this case, it's in kind. So the Jensen work for the two bathroom or restroom projects are, Jensen's work is in kind to the grant. And so we are getting reimbursed for construction activities, but we are ponying up money here to demonstrate our commitment. That was part of the grant application.
And because they've done the work on these projects before, in essence, it's almost like a sole source. That's why they're continuing on, because they've got the relevant information.
Yeah, and recall on professional services, there's not a sole source requirement in terms of board approval. Professional services, we can engage an engineer or an architect directly. Oftentimes we will get multiple quotes, but in this case, we have them already doing preliminary work that's now moving forward into full-blown plans and specifications.
What's the estimated time frame of completion for all three?
So we'll start with the fuel pier, the underground Investigation is, we're meeting tomorrow on site to, like, that's where we're going to dig. So I believe we'll have that all turned around within, I think the plan is 4 to 6 weeks. We'll have, this is where we think the pipe should go. This is where we think the tanks should go. And that, you know, at some point down the road, the board would have to contemplate an amendment to the lease look, boundaries for that. The restroom project is really, we're a little bit handcuffed by the Coastal Commission's approval process. We've got a soft commitment to an October hearing date for Harbor Cove Beach. Surface Knoll Beach, I think, other than moving a stairway, I think we're ready to submit immediately. So,
yeah, that was approved at a director's hearing at the city a week ago, Thursday.
Yeah. So, we have to sort of contemplate whether or not to compartmentalize the construction. I don't want to lose the window for the grant money, so we may break it in two. That's probably how this is going to go. And I've lost track of the third. And 19A is underway in terms of, you know, Blois, as you'll recall, there was a licensing agreement with between us and Blois to use the parcel. A lot of that work that was, you know, we're charging them to use the space. They're charging us to do some renovation. And then the city has actually agreed to slurry seal and restripe the entire lot. Small win for us. And in doing the striping plan, Blois will stripe to the new plan rather than restore. So there was some impetus to having done that sooner so that we were ready to do that. So I don't think we'll be completely finished with their scope because of the construction management for several months, but we're in progress immediately with some of this stuff. So.
No issues with the PSA. The thing that caught my attention was replacing underground fuel tanks and fuel lines by the end of 25. It seems like an aggressive timeline for a significant project, especially a project that would get a lot of regulatory oversight. Are we concerned about the timeline for that? Or
I would say the master tenant team that you will meet in a couple of items can speak to that, but they have been very engaged with regulators, contractor. We've met numerous times on the concept. I feel very confident in their ability to and their contractor's ability to execute within the time frame.
I think the other point of that is that there may be some regulatory time constraints that they may have to meet as well. So it's not just, you know, so on the one hand, regulation slows things down from an entitlement perspective. And then on the other hand, they may have deadlines that they have to meet, you know, at the
same
time.
It helps drive the train also.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was contemplated in a future item on the agenda.
All right. I'll look forward to that discussion. All right. Sounds good. Good questions. Sounds like let me go back to the agenda item. So the agenda calls for the commissioners to approve this PSA. So do I have a motion to approve the PSA?
I move.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve a PSA with Jensen Design and Survey or the three items, architectural services. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none.
Did we call for public comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Do we have any public comment? No public comment in person. Do we have anybody online? All right. We have no public comment. Do I need to redo the vote?
Yeah, let's redo
it. All right. We'll redo the vote. So given all that public feedback, do I have a motion to approve it?
I move.
So,
and I second.
Motion
it.
Stands. The second stands. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. It is approved. A little rusty there. Thank you for the coaching. All right. We'll move on to item number two, consent to assignment and amendments of the fuel facility.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the one we were alluding to. Before I turn it to Pablo De Leon, who's with Lagerlof, but joining us remote, as you can see there on screen, I did want to recognize that Kate, Jeremy, and Garrett are here this evening from Safe Harbor Marinas. And I see all of them together in one place at one time. It's been a little while. And we've got Steve James in the back as well. Great to see you, Steve. Thank you. So with that, I'm going to have Pablo give a presentation, and then I'm sure the whole team may have some comments to add. Pablo?
Good evening, commissioners. As you know, parcels, district parcels 3A1 and 3A2, formerly known as 1551 Spinnaker Drive, are occupied by a fuel dock area, underground tanks, and a distribution system, which essentially operates the premises as a fueling facility. Current tenant is Ventura Harbor Marine Fuel Inc. And the lease, current lease, runs from April 1, 2015 to March 31, 2035. Current tenant has notified the district that it intends to sell its business, and in connection therewith signed the lease and asked for the district's permission to assign the lease. The intended buyer slash assignee is Safe Harbor Marinas, and they are a current tenant. They occupy parcel 17, the Ventura Isle Marina, and since April 2016. They occupy that parcel via a wholly owned subsidiary, SHM Ventura Isle LLC. They intend to occupy the parcel 3A1 and 3A2 under that same subsidiary. The transaction documents which will effectuate the assignment from the district's perspective include an approval of assignment, an amendment to fueling facility lease. The amendment to fueling facility lease was required by Safe Harbor Marinas in order to clarify and effectuate a full formal legal description of the premises. Right now, the lease depicts the premises, but does not actually contain a legal description. And in connection with the assignment, SHM felt the need to formally include a legal description so that they could secure a title policy for the leasehold interest. A second amendment to fueling facility lease is also intended that will formally acknowledge the anticipated fuel tank replacement that Todd and Brian alluded to that will need to occur within the next 16 months, a quick claim deed, and a guarantee of lease. I'll turn it over to Todd to discuss the due diligence and our experience with Safe Harbor Marinas.
Yeah, I don't think it comes as any surprise that that Safe Harbor Marina has been operating very effectively within the Port District boundaries. There's, I believe, 14 items that were required under the due diligence, including understanding their intent to continue to operate the facility as it has been doing to serve our community, to, you know, who will be operating and running the facility after the transaction, then a number of things that are, you know, pretty well established due to our existing tenancy. We knew about the business. One clarification, I will say that the second amendment does say that they need to complete the tank and line replacement by December 31st, 2026. However, currently the legal requirement is 2025. So we gave them a year. Should any extensions be awarded by the state, if they were to apply for one as requested by the tenant, currently, the deadline is 2025, 16 months, but that could be amended by the states, or an extra year or extra time could be allowed, and the amendment does allow for that. That's pretty much it.
Could you clarify those dates again for me? Who owns which date?
So the state requires the tanks to be replaced by December 31st next year. However, then the new master tenant has requested that the assignment allow for an extra year should they be granted any sort of extension.
Right. So the law rules, right? So if the state gives them more time, then they've got through what additional time up to December 31st of 2026. So it's basically the sooner of the state or that date.
And happy to answer any questions on that you have. And if you had more questions about the tanks and replacement, you have a team here that have been, particularly Steve James, who've been
for
researching
clarification,
this.
What's the effective date of the assignment?
I think the 9th problem next was week. It? Yeah, that's
September
9th.
They're targeting next Monday.
Okay. And then financial, since the money's coming out of escrow, will it be coming in as revenue for our operating fund for this fiscal year, $54,000?
Gloria, how do you classify the inbound 50, I think it was 54,000 income? Master parcel lease income? Okay. So the answer is yes. Usually, there can be assignments from time to time that trigger this type of fee, but we're never quite sure of the timing of them. So typically, as Gloria points out, we'll have a line item for one-time monies, but usually we'll leave that blank until we know what happens, and then we can adjust at the mid-year.
Chris, please.
Okay. I don't know if this is a question for you or Pablo. What's the quit claim about?
Yeah, I will leave that one to legal counsel.
Can you hear me now?
Gotcha.
Okay. Quitclaim is to secure the performance of the tenant to secure its ongoing obligations under the lease.
Did that help?
Sorry. Basically, if there's a default, we can assert our interest in the improvements. Right now, it's anticipated that the fuel tanks and fuel lines are going to be replaced. Those will, for the life of the lease, those will be formally owned by the tenant until the termination of the lease. But in the event of a default, we'll have the executed and notarized quitclaim deed, and we can record it at any time, assuming there's a default. Did that help?
Yes, that helped.
Awesome. And in conjunction with that quick claim deed to secure the ongoing performance, we're also obtaining a guarantee of lease from the actual parent entity, Safe Harbor Marinas.
And were the fish modernization project to come up to speed quickly, and this were to get delayed, somebody's going to be, we're going to be sensitive to making sure they don't trip over each other.
Yeah, that was the intent of the 2026 deadline. The modernization project really can't break ground before that.
I guess I we have safe harbor here. I would like to pose the question I posed earlier. You know, to me, it's a major project and not a significant amount of time. What do you guys see as the big challenges of getting this project done in that period of time? If you want to, yeah, come up and hit the mic, please. Appreciate that.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. I'm Kate Pearson with Safe Harbor Marinas. Last time I was here, I think we were doing our dock renewal project, and prior to that, the approval of assignment. So it's great to be here. Yeah, it's a big ask. We're going to hit the ground running. We have project managers and a development team set aside to address the tank replacement project, but we're going to be relying on working with you. We have our first kickoff meeting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I think 9:15. At the site to move it forward. We may have to go to the state if we can show that we're making good progress. We may have to go to the state to ask for an extension. We don't know if that's actually occurred in any other tank replacement, but we think if we can show that we're, you know, doing good progress, that we could get an extension to that.
But right now, your expectation is you'll be able to meet the end of 25.
That's our expectation. That's our plan. Yep.
And this is gasoline and diesel?
It's purely diesel.
Purely diesel.
And I will say one of the reasons why we're confident is that Steve and his team have actually started the process. So we have a contractor and a payment's been made. So we are in progress. We don't have to go through the contractor approval and decision-making process. So that's been a good help. Thank you, Steve.
And Safe Harbor is mostly focused, I think, on recreational boaters. But this fuel pier will also service all of our commercial fishery.
Correct, fishermen. Correct. Yeah, we actually have upwards of 58, 59 fueling facilities within the Safe Harbor marinas with a lot of commercial clients, including two in the Bay Area, one that actually is all commercial. So we're very confident that we can respond to the needs of the commercial fleet here.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is what kind of experience does Safe Harbor have as a corporation? So you've already answered that one.
Thank you.
Sounds like we got a good team to take over this project.
Thank you. We're very pleased to be here working with you guys in the port.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Before I turn it back to the commissioners for a decision, let me ask for any public comments in addition to what we just heard. I don't see any public comments here. Do we have any online? All right. We'll close public.
One more question.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that you've thought about putting in a diesel or fuel polishing system?
We're trying not to detract from the initial project. There's other things that we do. We do invest in the project going forward, but let's get the tank replacement done, and then we can hear what, you know, what everybody wants, and we can definitely respond to that. So we'd be happy to have that conversation.
Okay. All right, commissioners, just to remind everybody what's in front of us, the recommendation is to consent to the First Amendment of the fueling facility lease. Second item is consent to assignment and second amendment of that fueling facility lease. And third, authorize the general manager to execute the First Amendment, approve the assignment and the second amendment. Lot package there. Commissioners, any thoughts?
I'm happy to make a motion before I do. One last question. Who are the regulatory authorities involved in this?
It's California, initially at the state level, it's California Health and Safety. Mm-hmm. And then we have Coastal Commission, of course, the port. I think we're exempt from regional water quality control because we're going to be replacing somewhat in kind, but it's really going to be coastal and the port and the city and fire. And
20.
Environmental health, right?
2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I would move approval.
I'll second.
All right. So I have a motion and a second to approve the items as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none opposed. We have the approval with this assignment. All right. Congratulations. So we look forward to updates on a big project. All right, we'll move on to standard agenda item number three, receive and file our 2024 Ventura Harbor survey results.
Yeah, Brian? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if you could go ahead, Jessica, and jump to the next. So I think background, we started this survey effort last year, and I don't know that we did get around to formally agendizing that. So I wanted to do that this year. I think we certainly shared the results with you, but I can't remember when and how we did that. So first I wanted to say that we put a lot of effort into the outreach and engagement on the survey itself, both through Jessica Rausch putting out multiple reminders in the initial survey. Marketing helped me put that together from last year's, and as did Todd. A lot of the questions are similar, but we did change a few and update a few and ask some different things. A lot does change in a year, but there's a couple of themes there that I think you'll see. And Jessica printed out for me last year's results. So if you have any questions of, well, how does that maybe compare to last year's, if it was the same question, I can share that with you along the way. But I will say that I think almost universally, the questions that did carry over from last year to this year, the overall survey responses were stronger. In terms of overall performance based on the ratings that we were given. I also had a chance to look at how many responses we got last year, which was 30, and we had 35 this year. I did also some outreach to our master tenants, both for purposes of the workshop coming up, and then also a reminder about the survey and encouraging them to participate and to get their feedback. We did this similar to last year also in that we asked for a 0 or a 1 to 5 rating in terms of stars. So you are going to see some oddball numbers, 4.1, 4.3, that kind of thing. But you'll get the idea as we go through it. And then each question had an opportunity for feedback. So, you know, you're not necessarily going to have 35 people answered every single question and 35 people give feedback, but they certainly had that opportunity if they wanted to do so. So you've had a chance to see this in the board packet. Hopefully this was helpful to you and seeing some of the feedback and things that people discussed. Certainly we prompted them on some things, so we'll go through it. But the fact that we got 5 more responses than last year is great. We have 79 tenants ish, Gloria, in the harbor. And at 35, that puts us, I think I did some quick math at about 44% response rate. I went online, looked for response rates for these types of surveys. That was considered a pretty strong response rate. So we're happy with that. I'm not going to read all the comments. You do have those, but I will go through it by question. And the first was, Ventura Harbor continues to grow in demand as a location for events. Have you seen this as a positive for your business? And the response that we got there was 4.1 stars. Again, you've got some feedback there. We can go back to any of these if you want to, as a board, of course, discuss some of the comments given. Next. On this next one, question 2, do you feel the district provides timely information about projects, programs, events at Harbor, Ventura Harbor? I think this one is a carryover from last year. This got a pretty strong result at 4.5 stars at that, and in terms of the total response. Next. And question 3, in the past few years, the district has completed a number of improvement projects in the harbor. How do you rate the quality of these improvements? I think this is a different question than last year. We got an overall rating here of 4.3. And next, question 4, have you followed the district's plans for future projects in Harbor Village? This one was just a yes or a no. Looks like everybody answered it. Certainly a lot more, 80% said yes and 20% no. I think the board is certainly encouraged trying to reach out to folks in a variety of ways, and I think that's starting to pay off here in some of the results that you see. Next. If you answered yes to question 4, are you pleased with the direction the district is heading? That was a 4.1. And although all of these responses were 4 points or higher, this was on the lower end of 4. We did specifically prompt them in the question. You know, looking at things like parking and other issues, just to make sure they had a good sense of what we were talking about here. So you'll see that theme sort of play out in part, I think, because we prompted that to give them a little bit more like, well, what do you mean? Question six, how do you rate the Ventura Port District's overall Harbor Patrol rescue and public safety operations that received a 4.3 overall? And next, how do you rate the Ventura Port District's overall property management services, including day-to-day maintenance and upkeep, landscaping and repairs that received a 4.3? And next, question eight, is district staff responsive to your comments and questions and concerns regarding your lease, your billing and accounting, or other administrative tasks that received a 4.7 overall? And question nine, here I think we're back to a yes, no. In the past year, did you have dialogue with district staff regarding obtaining and or renewing your commercial lease? Almost 50-50. Just of course, this is highly dependent upon where somebody is in their, you know, in the term of their lease. But interesting result with 18 yes and 17 no. So that gives us a pretty good sample size to work from. Next. So this is really a follow-up to that. If you answered yes to question nine, which we just said was roughly half of the respondents, how would you rate the courtesy, professionalism, and transparency of that dialogue? This was obviously a really gold star at 5.0 stars. Great to see that. And you'll see a few staff got some shout-outs in some of these from some of the responders as well. As of last year, two-thirds of our tenants have been here for more than 10 years. How long have you been a tenant? I think this is actually our first question in the last survey, but it is interesting to find out, you know, who's responding and what kind of time frame have they been here. Look at the 20-plus years, a significant number there. And then also 6 to 10 years. It's pretty well divided in terms of the way we broke out the timeline in terms of tenants' history here with the district, which is then also interesting to see how they respond to, you know, to these questions as a whole, which is great. Next. Do you plan to call Ventura home for the foreseeable future? This was a redo from last year, and that came up almost 5 stars, 4.9, which was great to see as well. And then question 13, what is your overall opinion of the Ventura Port District's management of the harbor? And that came in at 4.5 stars. And here was a nice way to continue that. Hey, there's a workshop coming up, right? Will you attend and share your thoughts and ideas at the September 14th public workshop? I mean, if all 20 of those folks show up, I will be very happy. And again, we're between now and the 14th, we're going to continue at it in terms of hoping to get some folks out for that. And did you know that this is, remember, part of our this year's leasing strategy, a $500 recruitment rent credit. If you help us enter a new multi-year lease with a tenant, again, another good way to promote a program here. More no than yes. So we've talked about that internally, getting, you know, repeatedly putting that out, maybe at least monthly, that we remind our tenants that they have that opportunity to, you know, they're eating at a great restaurant, they're shopping at a retailer and go, I think that would be great for the harbor, right? And I think this is our last one. If you were to suggest a type of business to the district that we should be recruiting to join the harbor, what would that look like? A lot of responses here. Some conflicting, you expect that to occur, right? More restaurants, no more restaurants, you know, that kind of thing. But a great way for a lot of folks who don't routinely come to these meetings to give feedback to us, the staff, to you as the board, in a fairly painless format that if you just wanted to do the stars, you could get through it pretty quickly. We said 5 to 7 minutes. If you want to take some more time and give some thoughts, then, you know, maybe 30 minutes or less, you could get through this whole thing. So that is the survey results. And if you want to talk through any of these or ask me to compare any of these from last year, I see some 3.9s and things like that from last year. But we can compare those if you like. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn back to you. I shared this all with staff at last week's staff meeting. Could congratulate them and their staff for doing a great job for the harbor.
All right, thank you for the summary. Before I turn it over to the commissioners, I want to ask for any public comments. I don't see anybody in the room. Do we have anybody online? Nobody online for public comments. So we'll close public comments. Commissioners, one way we could attack this is we could go item by item and ask some questions, or you have some general comments.
Yeah, I like the general comment approach. Mm-hmm. This is great, right? I mean, you guys are doing a good job, and it's wonderful to see that our tenants are aware of that, right, and appreciate it. So kudos to all of you. Good work. Not much. A couple things came to me that I had a question about that seemed maybe easy to me who's not involved. So one of them was a suggestion that your tenant newsletter go out Thursday instead of Friday so that they had more advanced notice and could prep their customers. Is that doable? I mean, okay. I love that. Okay.
Good answer.
That's the correct answer. All right. Another thing was the question about the projects, right? What we're doing, what do you think
mm-hmm.
of them?
Mm-hmm.
And do you get the information? Somebody comment was, where do I find information on the projects? So do we have a place on our web page or someplace where we can point somebody where they can get
consolidate
and a description, not just that line item, right, which is mm-hmm. not necessarily perfectly clear, but maybe just at least a sentence describing what it is. Is there something like that? And if there isn't, is it something that we can do without too much effort?
Sure.
Okay. That's it. Other than that, I think it looks good.
Jennifer, you want to?
Hi, thank you. Yes, we did look at that comment. Brian shared that with us. We went back to our team and took a look at that. And we just, we do add all of our tenants to our public newsletter too. So they're getting regular weekly as well as the tenant. So those tend to lie on Friday, depending on if we have events. Sometimes we do them on Tuesday. So there are multiple newsletters. So we'll take a look at that and also make those. We're also looking at the calculations for best CTR and open rates.
Did you put that in English?
Yes, click-through rates and open rates times people will be looking at it. Yeah, thank you.
Chris, you're talking about project updates. It makes me think about Water Pure. Water Pure, I think, does a pretty good job of doing updates. That's a much bigger project than what we're dealing with, but something like that is a good example of if I get fed Water Pure updates, I think, on a monthly basis, and I know where to go on the website if I have a question to answer. So, commissioners, other thoughts? Becky?
So, just a big shout out to the staff for the work that you've been doing. It's reflected in the tenant survey, and it is a very long way from the relationship with tenants that was here, you know, 7 years ago. So the effort that was put in has obviously paid off. I was really glad to hear that you prompted in question five comments about parking, because otherwise my reaction was, wow, a lot of people are really concerned about parking. But the comments they raised should be, and just encourage people to come to the public meeting, because it is one of the things that we're going to be talking about, and hopefully hearing from tenants and others about the direction that the harbor's headed there. I just want to give, I guess, a special shout out to Jessica. I just think that, you know, I know you've been working to develop her, and obviously the work that she's been doing with the tenants is appreciated and has paid off. So well done to her and well done to you.
Is there any, first of all, I think it just shows you've done a fabulous job, and it shows that people recognize, they both recognize it and appreciate it. With that said, is there any value in doing more than one a year? I know, you know, you do too many surveys and everything, and people get, you know, burned out and everything like that. But I notice on question 16, what I looked at that and saying, okay, what type of tenants are these? And if I could tell whether or not they were retail or professional or something like that, is there a pattern? And I don't know if we had enough in the population to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we intentionally tried to not ask too many questions that start to identify who they are. Now, some people clearly in the comments, they don't care, right? They're telling you who they are. But we're not, I mean, when we ask about how many years you've been here, we're not trying to triangulate to figure out who the respondent is. It's just to get a feel demographically for who they are. So I don't, you know, we're trying to keep this relatively short so they don't look at, because I look at surveys and I give up after, oh, it's a short survey. And then I start doing it. It's like, this is not a short survey. Done. Right. So we're trying to keep it short, trying to keep it somewhat similar to the year prior so that we can do have some results we can compare against prior years. But we do other surveys throughout the year. So I would be a little bit careful about survey fatigue. I feel like this one is a good annual survey. If we did this multiple times per year, I'm not sure, you know, the level of effort to do that and get this level of response. We did put a significant amount of effort into literally individual tenant follow-up, not telling them how to respond, just please respond. But we do surveys of the public and of our tenants recall when we lead into the budget study cycle. And that's where we start digging deeper into questions about what kind of tenant are you? What kinds of events and activities would you like to see? Should we be putting more money into advertising or events? What kind of events could you bring to the table, right? So we hit them with all those kinds of activities in the spring. We've decided summer post, you know, budget and is a good time to put this one out sort of at the tail, you know, heading towards the tail end of the summer. So there are other things that we do out there, and we also do that for the public marketing. Jennifer and Ruby, you know, put out surveys to the public asking them about how long do you spend here? What kind of shops do you like to go to, right? You get those results when we bring that draft plan to your attention, and we also grab a lot of data to put together the leasing strategy as well. So it's a long way of saying I think we do some other ones. I don't know that there would be much benefit in doing this one every 6 months per se, but I think there are other data sets that you get from our tenants.
And my last question is, after we go through our workshop on doing the strategic plan, will there be a question about it asking? Because I know for a lot of cities and counties, they basically ask, hey, do you know what the goals and objectives of the city are? I didn't even know they had any. And the question is trying to link and align that so that you get credit of planning.
Sure.
We met, we planned, this is our strategy, and do that. I don't know how to do it, but
I think we try to capture some of that in some of these questions about the projects and programs. Obviously, that relates to a CIP. If I called it a CIP, I'm going to start losing people, right? So if you talk about restrooms and landscaping and things people can sort of specifically relate to, my guess is they're going to be less worried about, did you spend, you know, this exact, you know, cost on landscaping, or does the landscaping look nice? I mean, what gives us more valuable feedback, right? You know, you need to do more work on landscaping, or the bathrooms look great. Now you need to move on to something else. I mean, I think that's meaningful input to us. You know, I think the quarterly goals, and again, I know we don't get a lot of participation here, but the quarterly goals is that way for us to bring that back to you so that you know where are we at relative to the quarterly goals. At the suggestion of the vice chair, we are going to actually have a couple of real-time questions that are going to be provided at the workshop, and Will McReynolds is going to be running that for us. So we'll have the opportunity to get some real-time feedback on a few things in addition to the group exercises, and we'll get into that in a little bit.
Couple of specific, or one specific. There was a complaint about the signage in the village not being clear. Any idea what that comment was referring to? Was that referring to the new kelp-based signs, or was there another sign there?
No, I'm pretty sure I know what they're referring to, and it is something we've identified. The new office directories that label the addresses for the different offices upstairs, the text that is inscribed into them is actually not very high contrast. It's actually technically not even compliant with ADA standards, so we're working on placing all of the. So it's basically, it's like, oh, that's Morehouse Financial, and it's just the contrast isn't great. Not what the sample we got before delivery, and we're working on trying to get something that's better. So comments valid, comments being.
I'll echo Chris's feedback. That's the right answer. So. Yeah, Jackie talked about parking. Lots of discussion about parking. I look forward to that discussion at the workshop. I think we need to pull that discussion out of the public or whoever shows up at our workshop. A lot of competing thoughts. The feedback on restaurants, as you pointed out, Brian, was all over the map, anywhere from sushi to Italian to no more restaurants. I think the public workshop would be a good opportunity to discuss that a little bit more. The coffee is one that came up repeatedly, but I think what we saw with Sugar Lab is, you know, the core hours and coffee don't necessarily correlate. And so do we really have the right environment for a successful coffee shop?
Right. And remember, our hours are our minimum hours, right?
Right.
You know, any restaurant could be open from, you know, whatever the city law allows for in terms of when a restaurant has to close it at night, depending on the licenses that they have. So there's nothing that precludes a coffee shop from opening at 6 a.m. The question for them is, do they believe they have the demand to serve this part of the harbor at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m.?
Yeah, it tends to be a quiet environment at that time of the morning. Yeah, all of my highlights are parking. So we'll talk about that. A consistent theme here was homelessness and vagrancy and how that affects the visitation, right? The quality of the visit for some tenants, and also concerns about crime. So I guess I just look to you and look to our harbor master to continue that effort to manage that issue for our tenants.
Yes.
Pretty delicate one, right?
Yeah, very delicate and obviously a complicated issue that, you know, no single port, harbor, city, state, county is able to fully solve, right? But that being said, also a, and I know we'll get there, but also a topic specifically identified for our workshop on the 14th to be able to have that more time to talk about it.
Just want to see. All right, I'll just conclude by echoing the other commissioners' comments of, especially your 5.0 score. Staff got great reviews on this, so well done. I love the survey, and appreciate you guys got the recognition for the positive relationship. So this was a receive and file, so we don't need to take any kind of motion. Would you like a motion? The clerk requests a motion. So we will basically accept the survey results and file the survey results.
So moved.
Second.
All right. I got a motion and a second to accept the survey results and acknowledge our appreciation of the staff's great work. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, survey results are accepted. Well done. Let's move on to agenda item number 4, which is our workshop.
Yeah, you might have heard there's an upcoming workshop on Saturday, September 14th from 8 a.m. To noon. The last time we did this was in December of 2021. We had identified as part of the knew at that time what was being developed to be the new five-year goals, a midpoint of those five-year goals to hold a workshop again. So it's been identified in the quarterly goals and objectives, which we'll be talking about after this item. And we've been in the planning efforts for this for a couple of months now. I had the chance to meet with the chair and vice chair, kind of work on the format for the meeting, how to best generate interest and get some good dialogue and feedback. What are the kinds of topics that would be timely? I think we've certainly seen some of this play. Maybe the timing of this has all kind of worked out well together. We're seeing some of this all this information come back to us in real time here. So what we ultimately put together is a what I think will be a pretty fast-paced, even though it's 4 hours. Really, we'll get started at 8:30. At 8, it'll be a chance to have some morning breakfast items and get a chance to say hello to our stakeholders and tenants and do a little bit of networking and so on. And then really, a chair start the meeting at 8:30. I did reach out to the city. Obviously, we have a strong partnership with the city of Ventura, and reached out to Bill Ayoub, the city manager, to ask if he or one of his team members wouldn't mind being a guest speaker of ours for approximately 15 minutes, kind of kick things off in the right direction in terms of our two agencies. And Bill quickly responded that he would love to participate and be there for us. So we will, after you do your normal routine items of accepting the agenda and so on, and we will have a board report and an agenda that will go out. Jessica Roush is targeting next Tuesday for that packet to go out, which will be a single item with the agenda. But we'll have a board report that will look very similar to what you're seeing right now with any changes you might have, plus me probably filling this out maybe a little bit more. So we're going to have two sessions. One is on parking management implementation, obviously very timely, harbor sustainability and resiliency. And in session two, economic development and public safety. Now within these, I have some asks of the board, which is to help me by being facilitators. So rather than just sitting up at the table, and we did this last time in 2021, I don't think you had to be facilitators, but I think you ended up being facilitators. So this time I'm just sort of, you know, asking now rather than the morning of. And so we would have five tables, break the group up into the five tables after you've sort of, you know, we've gone through the guest speaker activities and again, the start of the meeting. And we'll have discussion items, questions for each of these four items. So you're not going to be standing there saying, well, what do you think about parking, right? We're giving you and them, so we'll put this, the idea is to have this out at each of the tables. So they're looking at it, you're looking at it, you're working together, kind of roll up the sleeves. You'll have a co-facilitator that'll be one of five management staff here. They'll be your co-facilitator, information if there's a clarification needed, and help, you know, write items down from each of these activities. So we do have some prompts in on parking management. You know, again, this is a harbor-wide workshop. So Todd and I, you know, looked at some of the notes we had put together, and it was pretty Harbor Village centric. So I want to make sure that we have a question or two, because there's other things that are going to be happening with this parking management. You heard earlier about the Jensen design work that relates to 19A. That is part of the broader parking management strategy of moving the boats to 19A, freeing up the old boat storage and turning that into launch ramp overflow paid parking. So it's not just at the village. That may be where some of the, you know, the largest amount of feedback might come from. But want to make sure that we're engaging all the folks who show up to this, not just one area of the harbor. Harbor sustainability and resiliency, again, questions in there about, you know, electrified fleets and moving in that direction. What about single use? materials in the harbor, some of the green initiatives that we've seen with restaurants and other things. So there's questions in there designed to prompt that discussion as well. And a little bit from there, moving into economic development, where we have some discussion specifically about the commercial fish master planning effort. And, some of the concerns we've, heard or issues we've heard is, what about the, business disruption and how do you, how do you manage this entire project? We have feedback from our participants on that planning effort and some other economic development initiatives like the park at Parcel 5. Here's a photo of that. Here's the things that are planned to be a part of that. What do you think about that? Again, a different way to engage the public on that. And then on public safety, I think we have questions about homeless populations here, beach safety, harbor patrol. We have a harbor that has, with Portside and, again, the good news is more and more activity here, but we have a lot of, and I'm not going to use the word conflicting, I'll just say we have a lot of activity and different uses going on at the same time, from commercial vessels to recreational vessels to paddle boarders to electric boats to electric boat companies now. A lot of different things going on, and a lot of great work on the part of Harbor Patrol. But do people have thoughts on that? Is there limits to how many different kinds of companies that the port should have in at any one time? Are those policies that you might want to consider that would provide guidance to staff as to when is enough in regards to certain types of activity? So those are things to think about in the public safety. The way that we have this laid out is that each of these sessions would be an hour, so 30 minutes per topic. And then at the end of the hour, rather than saying cram your responses into that same hour, I think I put 15 minutes in for the five of you to report back quickly on, hey, here's a quick summary of the top issues that came from us on session one. After session two, a break between the two sessions, you guys are going to need, we're all going to need a little break. 15 minutes, get some snacks, use our facilities, whatever. And then at the end, an opportunity for general public comment and an opportunity for the board to share any thoughts they might have about the overall experience and, direction moving forward. So where there's usually, let's say, maybe we'll have two comment period on the front and the back. Obviously, we want to get into this pretty quickly, but a chance for you to summarize any additional feedback you have. I will be intend to not be one of the five that's going to co-facilitate with you. I will be intending to roam to keep the thing on schedule, let you know where we're at time-wise, and then say table one, what was the feedback you got on parking management and on harbor sustainability. I probably will have you do both at once, because if I have to go through twice, that might take longer than 15 minutes, so we might get bogged down a bit. So that's what I was saying. 8 to 12 sounds like a long time, but I think by the time we're going through all these things, it'll probably be pretty busy. And that's sort of the layout. Jessica, do you have anything that you wanted to add? We're working on parking. We want to make parking available to the public at the launch ramp. We want to be careful to not overburden the mobile home park with a lot of cars. We'll make some parking available for you. I think we're going to try to have staff park at the 19A if Wayne's able to work with the blow us out there, since they are still borrowing some of our space. I think we'll get some spots for you at the mobile home park. And then John's working with us on the launch ramp for the public parking. We'll probably need some signage, some things like that to help coordinate that. Again, we're going to provide breakfast, get everybody going in the right start and right direction. So I think that's kind of the overview, but from there, happy to jump in. And if you wanted any more detail about some of the prompts, I think I brought my draft with me if you have questions about that. But those were some of the key topics.
All right, before I turn it over to commissioners, any public comments? I don't see anybody in person, anybody online. All right, we'll close public comments. Commissioners, thoughts on the public workshop agenda?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Prompts are one thing, but I think there needs to be a common understanding amongst all of the however many tables there are. So are you going to describe the parking management plan before we start the discussion, or were you counting on the prompts doing that at the table?
I don't think we have time, because okay. If I tried to describe the entire parking management.
I don't know about the entire thing, but I mean, it seems to me there needs to be a common.
So here's what we were going to.
Description of what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
So something I didn't say enough about, which is that our plan was to have two easels per table. One will be for writing, and the other will be information about each of the topics. So for parking management plan, it might be a picture of Harbor Village, but it'll say like parking free Monday through Thursday, parking free on Spinnaker, paid parking Friday through Sunday and holidays. You know, it's probably hard to describe every detail of that and keep it to a reasonable amount of documents. But we thought about that, and I thought if I start launching into a staff report, I could get bogged down pretty quickly. So it's trying to balance that a little bit, but you're right.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I think it's vital that all these tables have that same base information for their discussion, or else we're maybe going to be missing each other with their feedback.
Yeah, gotcha.
Secondly, and we experienced this at our last one, do we have a fallback if all 20 of those people that signed up don't show up and there's only five people there?
I guess we have one large table.
Okay. Well, I mean, no, that makes sense to me. I just want to know that you're thinking, because last time we were kind of, we were all set up and we had to kind of start combining tables.
Yeah. Yeah. So. We could certainly shrink that if we need to, but you know, I mean, if we did have, even four or five people per table, I think that still could be a very productive discussion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'd love it if they had four or five people
right,
at the table.
Right. Okay. Also, I think part of I hear you about the common understanding. I think my idea too is as I'm floating around, if there was a technical question, I could help answer those too.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, which is everyone starting with the same information. I also felt like if I write a staff report and I start listing all these things, then it's going to be 10 pages long.
And and I think if someone in a group comes up with a good question, I think it you to stand up and say, someone just asked a great question. Here's my
good
answer.
Point.
So everyone again is kind of working from the same place.
Right. The reason for co-facilitators too is that, you know, most of the staff has a pretty good understanding, but again, everyone has their specialization and there may still be a question. So, yeah, happy to do that where, hey, we got a question on table two about this. Just to be clear, this is what we're talking about over at the launch ramp, or this is what we're talking about over at 19A.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. I want to piggyback off of that. I guess the general goal here is to gather public feedback.
Correct.
Right? We're not making decisions. We're not approving anything. We're gathering feedback.
Right.
And in the future, we'll bring that back to open session. Agenda as well. We'll actually take votes.
Yeah.
From a Brown Act perspective, any concerns on how this is managed? Anything we need to keep in mind?
No, you're fine. You have an open discussion that was publicly noticed, and you. I mean, it's not all public in the sense that more than one person is talking at the same time, and you can't hear what everyone is saying. But nevertheless.
One thing we did note, or the board should note, is that we're not intending this to be an online discussion. Right. We did this last time to try to manage someone's experience remotely in this framework. I mean, I was just at a recent public meeting and someone was on YouTube watching it and they're like, the sound was awful. And then it was like, why did I even bother? So I'd hate for that to be the feedback, as opposed to it's in person and please join us if you can't make it. You can always respond to these four topics. We'll have a public agenda, public board report. Anyone can provide written comments on any of these topics, although you certainly have gotten a lot of feedback through the survey as well.
Just a quick question. We had talked about some visuals of some of the projects that were going to be happening around the room so that people could during breaks look at them. Is that still?
I think where we're sort of consolidating that to is photos about the things we're going to talk about.
Okay.
That we
so the park project thing wouldn't be up
The park project would be up
Under the economic development?
Yes,
okay.
Right.
Got it.
And that would be at every table.
Okay.
So we thought about, okay, maybe it's a one place in the room, but then going back to sort of Chris's comment, the common, having the common information, we're like, well, let's put these at every table.
Okay.
So our intent is to create foam boards that will have photographic images and information about each of these topics that would complement the questions that they're going to get.
And that,
can I jump in on that real
yeah.
quick? So parcel five is an obvious one. Great visuals there. The concept for the vacant facility in the village, is that another graphic that we'll have?
Well, we have a village tenant mix-in event, so that's probably a visual that we would be putting up. And okay. and that just, I just went through the city's design review committee process, so we have now updated renderings of that based on their feedback. So for economic development, we have parcel five park, commercial fisheries master plan, which, as you know, we have graphics designed for that, and village tenant mix-in events are the three topics that we came up with in economic development. There are so many more things we could do. We could have a whole day on economic development. We could start talking about other master tenancy activities. So we tried to keep it to three things that were somewhat timely, but we certainly could go.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a graphic for parcel 17 ideas. You could have a graphic for directors development.
Yeah, and which is technically already approved, and there wouldn't really be much to talk about there. Parcel 17 could be a complete, that could be its own workshop. So we didn't, again, with 30 minutes per topic and people giving up 4 hours of their day already, we're trying to be careful how many different topics we introduce in one meeting.
The package that we created and provided to the city manager when he first came on board provided a pretty good overview of all those projects. So maybe a recommendation of the commissioners is, I think we all have that. That might be a good way to summarize, give you a background of what projects are in the queue. If those come up, you could talk with some knowledge. You might want to send that back out to everybody.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. I jumped in. Other Jackie, you had another question.
Just a quick one, and then the poll, or just this is probably for my own curiosity. Mm-hmm. What are you using for that? And is it a QR code?
It's a QR code. And what did we land on? Well, which software? He's already given me a test run. I had to pick my favorite color. I had to.
It was very intense. But the forum that we chose was Microsoft Forbes. They can create in-house with the emails that we have, like being employees in the Terraport district.
Yeah.
And they can be disseminated through a QR code, whether like physical pieces of paper scattered throughout the event or like projected onto a screen somewhere.
Right. Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you.
And I think what we were going to have Will do is bring those out. They were going to be session specific. So one will come out with a QR code for session one, and then one will come out for session two. And then maybe there's one wrap up one that's just a quick survey of, you know, what did you think of the event? What could we do differently? That kind of thing. It's probably going to be pretty rapid fire, like two or three questions, not like regurgitating all right. the stuff. But thank you. Yeah. And I think Will gave me, I think, two different to choose from. This one ties into our Outlook system already and at no additional cost, I think. So.
I really like the planning infrastructure that's set up. We're covering all four, which I think are very important sessions in themselves, but you're breaking it out so that you can get more input. And I think the time constraint gets people more on point than just discussing, yeah, it's not safe. Well, why isn't it safe? And then, you know, storytelling, as opposed to having questions,
right?
Giving us as facilitators some points to get it going. So I envision it as being very, very, I really am impressed with the structure. I think that it will solicit a lot of feedback and ideas.
Good. I'll just share with you public safety. We had homelessness, inner harbor management, and beach management. And then in those three, there's a question for you as a facilitator to ask. Homelessness. How can the district, master, and village tenants collaborate to reduce the impacts of the harbor visitor and employee experience? So to your question, we see this as we're a community as a whole. This isn't just the Port District is going to go solve this issue. This is how do we work together as a harbor to work on reducing impacts to the harbor as a whole, right? So, you know, those are the kinds of questions you'll get that you'll be prompting. And again, our intent is to put this at the table, it's, you know, so everyone's seeing it at the same time. What one program or tool would you suggest helping address the issue? So those are the two questions related to homelessness. And of course, that topic could be a whole day, right? So those were the three on public safety. And while I'm at it, session one, parking management, I'm going to update this a little bit more because of these other areas. But we talk about employee parking at the Dolphin Lot and what's known as the Turtle Lot. So to your point about similar information or same information, Spinnaker Drive will be free as it is now in the parking. It's not in the parking program. Given the parking will be free Monday through Thursday, are there additional considerations, locations the district should consider for village employees? You know, on those days that there is paid parking, do you have suggestions for public education? What would you prioritize the net revenue from paid parking, inner harbor transportation, public safety, security, infrastructure improvements, right? So those are some of the prompts. What about parking validation? For every dollar reimbursed, that's less reinvestment in the priorities, but that might be something that they value more because they think that would have the least impact to their businesses, but there's always that give a take and understanding the whole idea of charging for parking is so that cars will turn over, which create more space for people to come to their businesses, right? So we sort of didn't wanted to not put things in binary terms too, because there are impacts. If you start validating, you have less money to do shuttles. So understand that. So that's why we kind of set that question up in that way. Harbor sustainability and resiliency, recycling, single-use practices and sustainable alternatives. How do district, master, and village tenants collaborate to reduce reliance on single-use items, plastics, and use more sustainable materials? Zero-emission fleet and equipment, same thing. How do all of us together collaborate to migrate vehicles, vessels, equipment to zero-emission technologies? Large-scale resiliency, what policies does the district consider in order to implement greater resiliency and a larger scale for the harbor, meaning construction specifications, methodologies, policies. And then we give some examples like pile heights, lateral load requirements. We don't want to do an engineering session, but to give some idea, right?
Brian, will we get that list of prompts in advance? And if so, when are you projecting to try to get it to us?
It's basically 95% done. So I can send that out to all of you first part of next week.
Okay. I want to follow up on Tony's question about the sessions. So like session one is how long?
They're in total an hour and 15 minutes. An hour for feedback, 30 minutes per topic, and then 15 minutes for readouts on what some of the feedback was from each of the tables.
So
high-level summary.
Will it be up to each facilitator, each commissioner, to basically split that time between the topics that are presented?
It would be, I mean, to keep you on probably 25 minutes in, I'm going to be saying you should be wrapping up topic one in about 5 minutes so that
okay,
you don't.
So roughly 50-50 and you'll help us stay on time.
Yeah. I think otherwise you don't want to get to, you know, 10 minutes left because parking was so interesting of a discussion that there's nothing left to talk, you know, there's no time left to talk about on the harbor sustainability.
Tony, did you have any other questions, comments, Chris?
I'll just say those prompts you just read were very complicated, and I would strive to simplify those.
Yeah.
And there was quite a few. Okay, Elizabeth?
I appreciate the prompts and us being as prepared as we can be. The two concerns I have is a very short time to cover a lot of topic area. So I'm not sure how we handle that. And the other is while you've covered all, I think the big hot button items, if people bring up things that are off topic, just have them contact your office or just make note or.
Yeah, I think as facilitator, one of your roles is to keep them on point. And I think like Tony mentioned, there's not a whole lot of time to, I mean, you focus your your responses.
Clearly, but I don't want them to think that we're simply.
Yeah, no, of course not. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a great question or comment, and something that might be, we'll get an answer for you or follow up with you through staff. I think that's a good one.
I guess I would caution us not to take on too many. I'll get back to you, because we could go home with pages of I'll get back to you. So I think the direction to seek staff on specific questions is probably better.
Well, staff will be getting back.
I think I lost Chris at lateral loads. Not
sorry. Sorry. And I said that like a Canadian. One of the options,
we'll get back to you.
Because co-facilitator, every commissioner's co-facilitator will be staff, is it doesn't have to be, it'll, we'll get back to you. It can be Todd, who's going to get back? Okay. Who, Sergio, who's going to get back to them on this? We can, as staff, we can directly take that. So that's not a commissioner responsibility walking out of the room. That can be a staff thing that gets assigned at that in real time.
Yeah, but that's only going to be on, I mean, the feedback, if you will, that we get, we don't, our response is when we bring it back to us as a commission talked about, right? But there may be specific things where someone says, you got a tenant who says, yeah, and I got a leak here. Okay, you know, okay, you're going to go deal with that. But I mean, a comment that, I think our parking management plan should be X. We're not getting, I don't think we're going to be getting back to them. It will be, thank you for the feedback.
Right.
That will be considered right. As we move forward.
Sure.
I think they get back to you is the off-topic ones.
Okay.
So if someone
Which
says,
will be
I
a
want
high
to leave
percentage
my
of,
space,
frankly,
it's like, okay,
but,
we'll get,
you know, typically.
Sergio will help take care of that for you. Let's move on to the thing here. And he'll be texting someone to go take care of it. But if this, yeah.
No, I just, John raises him.
Yeah.
I hear you. I mean, I think the goal is, these are the four topics. We'll simplify the questions. We'll have some graphic design and some other things that help. But I agree that we... stuff that, you know, I think you'll all be great facilitators.
I wanted to offer something to help us with exactly what we're talking about. If we address homelessness as homelessness, we're not going to get anywhere. Really, when in my world, there's homelessness, and that's not something that we could directly deal with. What the comments that we really had was vagrancy and mental health crises. And both of those have resources that we can allocate to help improve the experience here at the harbor. So if we all kind of redirect people that it's not homelessness, it's vagrancy, which is alcohol, theft, things like that, or it's people with mental health issues that maybe it's bringing in services to help them, maybe it's better coordinating with, those are things that we could actually suggest or help guide people that will have a meaningful outcome and have value, as opposed to us saying, well, we just need to keep throwing money at something without any real direction. Because to me, that term is often used, but it's so broad that we definitely wouldn't be able to do it in 15 minutes. So just kind of a thought.
Do you have that for the other three, Tim?
I'll work on this.
I think the one thing, and I've been talking with our staff about this, is that what we don't want to do is spend the hour, each of the 2 hour sessions of staff talking at people.
Right. Right.
That's not our goal. So we, you know, what we're going to try to do is, if there's a question that needs a quick, you know, quick answer to, we'll try to give it, but I don't want us as staff launching into a 15 minute monologue on, you know, whatever topic, you know, harbor dunes, a beach dunes restoration, you know, intricacies, right? We just, that's not a good use of their time.
Right. So, it's a listening session. The props are just to get the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with a little bit of guidance with some of those things help, I think. Yeah.
Have we gotten any updates on our city council liaison? And there was a switch that was being discussed. And do we know if our city council liaison plans to attend?
So yes and yes, Jim Duran, and he's going to participate for a period of time. He cannot be there for the full 4 hours.
Okay.
But he intends to come.
All right.
We've also invited, have not heard back, I don't believe, but we have invited the mayor, because this is the mayor's district as well.
Terrific. All right.
I'll close. I think we've wrapped this up, but just a reminder, I think we should wear our name tags so they, you know, we're kind of official.
Does everybody still have their name tag? Did I ever get you one? Uh-huh. Maybe not. Okay. You still have yours? You still have yours? Okay. I have a note for that. I know I need to change yours.
We are going to have.
Do you want Tony or Anthony?
We will have name tags for our stakeholders to make your jobs easier as well. And a sign in sheet if they want to sign in. That just helps us get a feel for who can.
Should be a good morning. We look forward to that and we look forward to seeing your prompts. And I assume if we have feedback on the prompts, you're open to getting some feedback
of course.
And tweaking.
Yes.
So, all right. So this was an opportunity for us to get a presentation from you and a discussion. We're good. All right. So we will move on then to our quarterly update of the five-year objectives.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will I'll try to keep this one brief. We've had some pretty healthy discussion on, I think, a lot of things that relate to this. But if there are specific items that you all would like to hear about, I'm happy to have myself or Todd or others help out. But I would note maybe something slightly different in this report than others. And I think, Chair, Vice Chair, I did speak to you about this, which was we're going to identify some items that maybe are already complete. So great, or some items that we just don't think realistically the district is going to tackle in the next 3 years. And so those are included in the board report. It's interesting on one of those, I said, you know, water pures left the harbor and then they came back and started tearing up Schooner Drive again. So I'm like, spoke too soon. But we do know in terms of future reporting in the next quarters, this is winding down. In terms of those impacts to the harbor, there's not really going to be a reason to continue, thank goodness, to keep this on past 2024, I don't think. So I listed those there. We can go through those. Just a couple of quick updates on these. We'll just run through a couple quick. Todd, could you? And here's one of them, item three, which I think is one of the ones that we identified for inner harbor dredging permits, I think is now complete.
We'll just go with hooray. after 3 years, the tasks are completed, the permits are in hand. We used them to execute inner harbor dredging earlier this year. This goal is ready for retirement with the board's approval.
And then Jessica, if you could move on to civic engagement, but the second page of that, and obviously very timely, is the first item up on top, item three. Public workshop every 2 years. There it is identified in terms of the time. You know, something we don't have listed here, and I'm not saying it does need to be, but this new survey, newer, you know, last year and now this year is a pretty big element of engaging our stakeholders in a way that we didn't in the past. So it could be that we add something like this in so that there's still something to report here. That's an opportunity. On to the next one, Jessica. Commercial fishing. I will say down towards the bottom with regards to number three, recall that we had opportunity for you to hear from Ocean Rainforest. I did want to report that they have now formally submitted an application to the Army Corps of Engineers for a macroalgae project in the Santa Barbara Channel. So stay tuned on that. The board's direction, as approved, was to support the submission of the application. And then once that application becomes public and there's an opportunity for formal comment on that, that I would be bringing that to the board. So we're not there yet. The application has been submitted. There has been some staffing changes. One of the new members of the team is Doug Bush. Doug Bush was principal at the Cultured Abalone in Goleta, very involved in the early VSE efforts. He has now joined Ocean Rainforest. Eliza has left and pursuing her MBA, so she's no longer on the team, but they've picked up a new member of the team to do public outreach and civic engagement earlier today. She told me she and tends to join us on the 14th for that discussion. So hopefully that works out schedule-wise for her. In speaking with Robert Smith, NOAA's draft environmental impact statement, I think comment period should be happening later this fall. So when that does come out, we'll be bringing that back to the board for discussion as well. Again, this was for looking at aquaculture opportunity areas within the Santa Barbara Channel. And remember, this is the federal government taking on the role of doing the siting. And in the case of Ocean Rainforest, they're not waiting for that. You can always file your own application for a project. So we have two fairly significant things happening, I think, by this fall with respect to aquaculture. And next, Jessica. Collaborate with master tenants. There's a lot of things going on right now. With Portside, you know, some of the initiatives that have come out through our five-year CIP have been through some of that engagement. The sign at Schooner and Harbor is now gone through and was approved by the Design Review Committee 2 weeks ago. It's off to a director's hearing next with some minor modifications to the design based on the feedback from the DRC. The meeting I attended with coastal architects representing us. And so once we get through that, we'll have a coastal development permit in hand, and it'll go through building and safety for plan check. And we included that in this fiscal year's budget CIP for construction. Some of you may have noticed you haven't seen a monthly report on it yet. I'm sure you'll see it through marketing's next meeting. There are banners all over the street light poles in and around the harbor. That is a project of ours. Initially that was going to trigger the need for them to be the permit to be reissued every 3 or 4 months. Todd and I met with the community development director, expressed our concern about having to do this on an ongoing basis for signage. It's really designed to be placemaking and area of the city identifying. And she came up with a creative solution to take that to the design review committee as part of the Schooner sign update and modifications to our sign program. That was approved, so it's now part of our approved sign program. So when they need to be replaced, it's because they are weathered now, not because of a obligation there. So a lot of great work, part of which is related to some of the feedback we've gotten from Portside about really trying to increase the identification of the North Harbor area as being part of the harbor, not just a hotel entrance. Next. And NPS. Don't really have too much here to update, which is a little bit why I made one of the recommendations we have there. Continue to work with them, but there are several things that collectively we were asked to do. We've done those things. There were some things on their list to do. We really don't tell the National Park Service when and how to get things done. That's for them to do, but we certainly have done the items that they requested of us. Next. Parking management, traffic circulation, obviously a lot of things going on here. I recall that the parking management plan was approved by the city of Ventura. There was initially an appeal. That appeal has been dropped. So we have a coastal development permit approved other than Harbor Cove Beach, which falls under the Coastal Commission's separate jurisdiction, and a separate hearing needs to be held for that. I think you heard a little bit about that, I think, earlier. So that is planned to go to hearing, I think, by October and move forward, which would complete the rest of the parking management plan in terms of entitlement approvals. Lots of implementation issues that fall within the district's and the board's guidance, but we'd be past the entitlement process once we get that last approval from Coastal Commission. And next. Revenue and grants, of course, you took action recently on the Port of Hueneme subgrant, and legal is doing a lot of work. You've got, you know, a layer of state government we have to work through in terms of procurement issues, RFPs related to environmental approvals or environmental documents that need to be prepared and so on. So they're working on those items. And but obviously one of the big pieces of the puzzle, which was both boards approving the subgrant agreement, was put in place. I've said this before. I think our team has done a great job of expanding our reach in terms of seeking out opportunities for monies that are other than the districts as a way to supplement our CIP and other activities. You heard about one related to Parcel 5 Park, which was for soft costs. We don't have an answer on it yet, but that was related to park grants that involve cultural activities. And I think we made a strong case for all of the cultural events and activities that we put on and plan to do in the future, and why this would be the great location to be able to do that, given the stage setting and so on. So we'll see where that goes, and we'll see if we get a thumbs up on that. But we're certainly going to continue for looking for other opportunities for that project and others as we go. So I think that's an SCE. I think Joe's not here this evening, but I think we have broken ground or about to break ground on the 21 new charging stations at the village. 10 or 11 on one side, closer to La Petite Cafe side, and then 10 or 11 on the closer to Baja Bay Surf and Taco side over there that I think had to get done by October. So I think we're moving that along as quickly as we can now that we've got Edison on board. So I think that is a quick summary, but again, there's some items that we put in there. I know I put receive and file, but any feedback you might have for us on retiring a few of the items that we've completed, that might be fairly perfunctory. I did identify Parcel 8, which is adjacent to the National Park Service, given the I think lack of funding that National Park Service has for such an endeavor. And our workload involving everything from master planning, commercial fisheries, to Parcel 5 park development, and all the other things you know that we're involved in, we just can't move the National Park Service with monies they don't have and time we probably don't have. So those are our thoughts.
All right, Brian, appreciate the update. We look for any public comments. None in the room. Any public comments online? All right, we will close public comments. Commissioners, thoughts, questions on quarterly updates? Chris?
Yeah, boy, what it says here is that you consider removal of some actions from future reporting. But it sounds like maybe what you said, and it kind of implies it's removal entirely from the plan. So I want to know, is it that you won't report on them anymore, or you want to actually excise them from the plan?
B.
Okay. I think we should do that when we update our plan. And I have no problem having them there and say, we did it. It's complete. I think it's important for the public to see that we did it. Not that we did it and it disappeared. Mm-hmm. Somebody looks at it, right? I think they need to see what we've done.
Sure.
Chris, can I comment on that? The flip side of that is your report could grow and grow and grow. How do we keep it to be a manageable report if we have these things?
Well, when we do our next update, we remove them. They're done. Right? I mean, when we update our strategic plan.
That would be in another 2 years.
Yeah,
right.
That's when we remove them. Yeah, that's how we always did our strategic plan that I've ever worked on. They remain there. They're done. That's your status. We deck mark, right? Mm-hmm. Success complete. Don't report on it anymore.
How would you approach the ones if you agreed with something like Parcel 8? How would you approach that? Would you remove it, or you would leave it?
You could even just say your progress reports. And I don't have a problem with this. This action could be a subsequent action by the board. And use your language, right?
Yeah, right.
We don't have any authority or whatever your language you want to put in is, and therefore this is not being pursued at this time. You know, but it was in there. It was something we wanted to do. I think it makes sense to kind of continue to show these things, me personally. And then the other one, and you already kind of hit on it, I think the water pier needs to stay in there. Because even though they're not doing it on our property, they screw up harbor all the time. And it kind of reminds me of the drone show. We contacted them, said, you can't knock harbor down to one lane for the drone show, which we know thousands, right? So I think we need to keep on top of that. Because they're going to be doing some things out there that will be disruptive to us, even though they're not on them.
Following up on Chris, perhaps one suggestion could be to break it into active and inactive. And inactive could be they've been completed or they're moot or they're not currently being worked on because they don't need to be. So that it keeps the active list shorter, but the inactive ones don't disappear.
I totally agree. And I use the word, it says achievement, achieved. That's a separate report. And then the ongoing is an ongoing. And it's like, you want to know what we've done? Look at our achievements. I agree it's a lot to see, and it's when you're reading through it and you're going, oh, you know, if that's already done, why am I reading it on here? But then again, I think we want to tell them, hey, we achieved this. When did you achieve? Oh, we achieved it, you know, that maybe in another, I don't know, being a bureaucrat, we'll just do another report, but some way keeping it there so people can see this is what we've accomplished and these are ongoing.
Sure. I think the way we've laid out the SMART goals is in this framework, but I mean, you're right. There's a way. I mean, if that's what the board wants to do, there's a way for us to capture everything one way or another, right? In some report.
I'm afraid I guess my concern is, I agree. If we've done it, let's take it off. But my concern is it's got to be somewhere because you achieved it. We did that. We accomplished that. It's got to be. I think we've got to have something there to say, look, we did that the second quarter. You know, look at all of our achievements there. I've worked for organizations that neglected to put their achievements down. And people were saying, oh, you're still on that. Oh, you're still on that. And at the end of the year, it's like, oh, well, you're saying all these accomplishments. How come we're just, you know, you're telling us now? So don't sell yourself short.
Chris, I want to go back to your comment. You made a statement about it like a complete rewrite or a new issuance every 2 years. That's what you did with the county. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
I worked on these. Some people would do an annual strategic plan. Some people would do them for 3 years, five. I mean, everyone has a different time horizon that they use.
Yeah.
But I mean, we didn't, when something was done, remove it from our plan. It was still part of what we adopted. And then when we did our updates, you'd have a whole new set, right? And the things you were done had to be accomplished or out. Right?
Yeah, I think the 2 years we were referring to is that in 2+ years, this 5-year plan will be done. And at that time, things would be removed, added, et cetera.
I've looked at this plan more as a living document. We're identifying things, we're adding things, we're completing things. I didn't anticipate a complete rewrite. Am I off base there, or what was the expectation?
The rewrite to me comes when you're doing a new 5-year plan.
Yeah.
So,
and when is that?
That's in 2 years and change. So what I'm hearing is don't lose the things we accomplished. Maybe, you know, look at ways of classifying things as active and inactive. I mean, I think we can play with all of that feedback. And I think the vice chair has some thoughts as well. It seemed like maybe, but no. Okay. Okay. So, I mean, I think we can capture all that if that's the direction we want to go, which is don't lose these items. They're part of the 5-year plan that was adopted. Hold on to them in some way to document success and or something that we're recommending to you that we just don't think is going to happen. And it should go to an inactive list or something of that nature, but it's not lost. I think that's what I'm hearing.
Can I ask for another clarification, which is, I think, a lot of the driver behind the retirement thing is, would you want the inactive and achieved goals reported at each quarter? Or would you want that perhaps somewhere on the website that an interested party could go see the master list, but the report really can focus us on this is what we're really working on today? See, what not?
I yes, action items to be undertaken that were undertaken during the quarter. Or if they were on the action list for a particular quarter and it didn't happen, to explain what may have interfered with that. But if it's been completed and or moot or whatever the case may be, then I'm fine with it being not reported during the quarterly report. Kind of hearing what you are doing.
Yeah, I mean, we could basically, in terms of what goes on the board report, we can just condense down to the active items. But the full report will still show everything that was originally adopted. I mean, I think that we can just pull cells out for purposes of the report.
So when you do your quarterly updates, you would excise or not show us those completed items, which you're suggesting?
Correct. And items, well, they're complete, so there's nothing more to do, right? Probably the bigger question for you are, you know, ones that I've identified, which may only be one, where I've said, look, this is listed in the five-year plan. Staff should be trying to accomplish something here, except that I don't think there's something we can accomplish in the next 2.5 years. And I'm suggesting to recommending to the board that be removed. Now, removed could mean different things. Removed could be just removed from the active list of projects that we're working on right now, if you agree with that, and understanding that it's going to get, you know, potentially moved to the next five-year plan if the board at that time thinks it should be part of that five-year plan. If it's something that's active, though, and even if there's no quarterly update, I probably wouldn't want to lose that in your quarterly report, because it's still something being active. And you might have a question like, well, so, you know, aquaculture, so nothing happened this quarter of significance? No, because we're waiting for NOAA to release their document that will then trigger, you know, the opportunity for public comment, something like that, right?
But if it's a status report of your actions,
what's that?
If it's a status report of your actions for the quarter,
right,
I think they should not be reported. Just like something completed. I mean, you're reporting, you know. If you're going to remove something from your quarterly report because it's completed,
right?
Well, your quarterly report where you didn't do anything should probably be removed too to shorten your list, right? Well, what we're looking at what staff's activities are. That's what you're reporting to it.
True. But you could have a question about when are we going to hear back on fill in the blank or something like that.
I think that's where your judgment comes into play. Okay. This we didn't do anything, but it's a current topic of discussion, or we shouldn't lose sight of.
You might consider too, if you do complete something, showing it on one quarterly report completed, and then it goes away.
Here are the things we're removing, and they've been completed or they've moved to inactive, and we can agree to that, and then they drop down, don't fill up again.
So is this a quarterly report of your actions, or is this something else? I guess maybe that would be my question. If it's a quarterly report of your actions, they should be gone. If it's something more that you're trying to do, then keep.
It's a quarterly report of actions, but it's intended to show every single item that the board adopted as part of its five-year objectives.
And that would mean the completed ones are still on the list and they say completed.
Okay.
Right? Because they were adopted in our five-year plan.
I'm concerned about this idea of, I don't think we've talked about this in the past, this idea of we have a five-year plan and we're going to execute our five-year plan, and then 5 years from now we're going to create a new five-year plan. We're way too dynamic for that. Things change way too much. To me, I look at this as a living report, and some things are going to emerge. We add them to our list of action items. Some things we get completed, we complete those action items. And we got to keep this thing manageable. Like I think, Tony, you said, you know, I've read this before. Why am I reading this again? Right? Somehow you got to keep it small enough so that you look at it and you don't get lost in the weeds. So. I think we have a little bit of disagreement on how to manage this overall plan.
Why don't I try next quarter and see what you guys think? Taking all of the feedback I got tonight.
I'll give you one more thought on that as you consider this. One of the things that I have a hard time keeping straight in my head is we have multiple irons in the fire, multiple big projects, Parcel 17. We just talked about them with the economic development. Parcel 17, the director's project. The Yacht Club is finishing up their big project. The commercial fishing grant is obviously one I'm very concerned about just because of the timeline. We just talked about the fuel work, that fuel tank work.
You're making me tired, Mr.
Yeah. is there a way in this report to talk about on each of the major developments, what are the next steps or the next couple of steps, or the terminology I'm used to is a plan of action and milestones. I don't want to create a huge amount of work, but if I wanted to remind myself of parcel 17, what's the overall plan and what are the next one or two steps? I'm not sure where I'd find that besides calling you up and asking mm-hmm. you. Right? So parcel 17 is a key strategy that we have. You know, what are the next couple of actions? So I would ask you to think about that and how do we keep that information in front of the board or readily achievable.
Okay.
Yeah, I think earlier we used to have to call them successor. We had predecessor and successor.
Yes.
Gantt charts, and that's what they would show. So if the charger is complete in October, then if that's it, then that's it. There's no successor. This project management terminology, but he did it that.
Just for the record, I'm not asking for Gantt charts. I do that at work, but I'm not asking you guys to do that. But next step.
We can talk about structural loads.
Oh.
Well, there was a comment earlier, and I can't remember what item it was about things living on the website, you know, related to various projects. You know, it could be
right.
It could be blending those ideas together in a few broad stroke things. I mean, we do obviously when something's coming to you, you get a report. There's a background. It gives that history. I do want to be careful about creating too many more reports and more staff obligations. You know, that it's always that balance of they need to do the projects, but I agree the successes and the accomplishments shouldn't get lost either, and it's always a little bit of that balancing act, right?
Don't want to hear and then micromanaging when you guys clearly are so capable.
Chris,
maybe what we need to do, because you do a quarterly report to us, is maybe have at your annual report we do an update, and so something that there's a formal recognition, and in that update, everything that's completed, it falls off, right? And you know what I mean? Something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. It just seems to me we at least need some record, some public record
of
of what we've done, right? As opposed to it just kind of fell away. No one knows.
So I would endorse an annual view and an annual reset like that because it coincides with the budget development. Here's what we want to do in the next year, and here's what I have budget to do. And these things I don't have budget for. Sorry, guys. So we're going to park that.
That's great. Yeah, no, it's a great idea.
Any other comments? Yeah, Jackie?
I hesitate to speak, but yet I
right
will.
Here.
I just want to make sure that, because when I look at this, the 2022-2027 5-year objectives are broad. Mm-hmm. What you've built is an idea about what steps the staff's going to take in order to fulfill for example, maintain and grow Channel Islands National Park Service presence and customer visitation to the harbor. Doesn't specifically say the objective is to develop parcel mm-hmm. 17 or anything mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So you've chosen that as a potential way to increase, but the objective is to increase present and customer visitation. So, I mean, the details that you've chosen, I don't see that as in any way interfering with the overall strategic plan.
Are you saying, for example, after the strategy component, that the things like the action and the milestone and the achievements are things that are normally going to evolve over a five-year period of time to meet that strategy.
Right. So you want to increase engagement with the National Park Service. There's a lot of ways to do that. We've chosen three or four.
Sure.
They haven't necessarily been able to come to fruition, so you might choose a different pathway to
right.
meet that same objective.
Sure. Sure. And some of those come through in the form of the budget, right, where we're going to do this activity.
So when I think about what's going to happen in 2 years is that we're going to relook at that 2022-2027 five-year objectives and see whether or not they're still in line with the next 5 years of our priorities.
Yeah, I guess it's even the high. And there was a lot of time that you as a board spent on where does that top line statement go, right? And so with dredging, it's ensure dredging occurs annually at the Federal Harbor entrance and as needed in the Inner Harbor.
And that's never going to go away.
That's never going to go. That one's never going away, right? Nor is public and civic engagement, right? Different ways of doing that, surveys,
right.
workshops, could be something completely different, right? So, no, I think the vice chair's point is that the high level D and what comes after it is really what you adopted in terms of the 5 year strategy, and how you get to solving for that may evolve every year or within a year or.
That's where being dynamic comes in. So
yeah.
we adopted the objectives.
Right.
You guys created the. This is how we're gonna.
Do it.
Meet the objectives that you created. So in my mind, and I think this goes back to Elizabeth, what you said, I don't want to micromanage kind of if you think that's not working, we need to take another path.
Right. Right. But in a annual report, we could capture the things that were accomplished on the pathways of accomplishing that larger mission.
Yeah.
We did these three things and they weren't just ongoing things, which, you know, we accomplished this, right?
Or things come up that end up fitting within a strategy, action, or milestone that or achievement that wasn't originally planned in here, but the opportunity emerged, the being dynamic.
Sure. Yeah. I like the reporting completed too, or accomplished completed. You know, that shows up in a quarterly and then it shows up in the annual. And then I think you're right, Vice Chair, things could evolve here in terms of this list.
And there's not a real complete the objectives can't be
give me a difference.
Completed.
No. Your actions are complete.
I'm gonna have her pull up public and I can have her pull up public and civic. Go to the next one. So, you know, we decided public workshops every 2 years. The idea is encourage public and civic engagement, maintain high levels of organizational transparency, et cetera, right? You adopted a strategy, public and civic engagement planning, and updates to district policies reflect improved transparency in DEI. I think what you all are saying is you rely on us to take it from that point to recommending things to you that sometimes have budgetary impacts. Maybe it's just things we're doing, you know, us sending out a ton of emails to get people, you know, engaged on surveys and workshops and other stuff. It's just stuff we do, right?
What's probably confusing is that you brought this whole table back and had us adopt it, right? Which implies that we have adopted, it's quarter three, that we're going to do these things. And that's probably something we shouldn't have done. We should have kept ourselves at a higher level, done the E and the strategies,
mm-hmm.
and the rest to you is you can report out to us. This is what you've asked us to do. Here's the things we're doing.
Sure.
Without yeah. being quite so formal. Now we like the formality because it was measurable and timely and all those things,
smart
all
goals.
The smart goals that
right.
everyone gets pounded into us. But maybe that's where things got a little angry. Technical term.
I would endorse that. Yeah. I want to leave you one more thought on engagement.
We exhausted you.
No,
I completely agree. That's, I mean, E and then E3 and E4 are okay. That's us. That's management. That's strategic planning. That's the direction we want to go. But after that, action, milestone, achievements. That's what we rely on. you for. And I too don't think that getting into that is, I mean.
Right, but we do need to report it.
Yeah, I think there's consensus on that.
Yeah.
All right, I want to wrap the discussion up by pointing out one thing. If we can go to the engagement. Engagement with City Council. I forget where that is on this list, but we said we're going to biannually visit City Council. I think we saw City Council last in February or March.
It seems like we formally engage them annually and we informally engage them throughout the year.
I thought our goal was biannually.
That is the goal. I'm saying what we've been doing is engaging them formally annually and informally through our liaison, the mayor and others on an ongoing basis.
Well, and I think we've been doing a great job, and I think inviting the city manager to join us in a public workshop is a good move. I was thinking that potentially the public workshop, if we go see the city council, we're going to have something to talk about, something they care about. Right. Possibly our public workshop.
Mr. Chair, you're going beyond the strategy.
I'm making a suggestion to staff.
You can say whatever you want.
I'm going to exercise my right as a chair to keep this item open internally. Something to think about is the public workshop could give us something to talk about with the city. Hey, we had a workshop. Here's what we heard. You know, that's what the council cares about. What do their constituents care about?
I think transmitting the survey to the city of Ventura is a good idea, right? I mean, from time to time, they've been interested in, you know, how stakeholders view, you know, the harbor and its operations and how things are going. And, you know, this is, I don't know that we'd go stand in front of them to do that, but we could certainly transmit a letter to them and send to the city council and city manager the results of the survey. I mean, they're on our agenda circulation packet, but, you know, something that's a standalone.
They're very busy people.
Exactly. A standalone item might do that. So I don't know that we need to stand at the dais in front of them and do a formal presentation twice a year. That's was the goal, but I think we do communicate with them even much more frequently than just twice a year.
So this was a receive and file item, but we often we often take a round of votes to approve recognition of your achievements here. So I'll follow that pattern and I'll say all in favor of accepting this quarterly update.
Did we have?
Do we have a?
Thank you.
Good.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept this quarterly update. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, we accept and applaud your quarterly achievements.
Thank you very much.
And we will adjourn for the evening and look forward to our public workshop on Saturday. What am I forgetting? Saturday, September 14th.
September 14th, 8 to 8:30. Breakfast, 8:30. Start the meeting. Have you out of there by noon.
All right. Remember your name tags, commissioners. All right. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.